Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, I'm looking at three new movies. There's a man who talks to monkeys, a kid who steals a lion, and a movie critic who monkeyed around with the way we look at movies.
If I could walk with the animals and talk with the animals, grunt, squeak, and squawk with the animals, and love, they could talk to me.
Doolittle, co-written and directed by Stephen Gagan. It's the early 19th century in England in a village called Puddleby on the Marsh. Young Stubbins, played by Harry Collette, a boy out hunting with his dad, accidentally shoots a squirrel. But instead of putting it out of its misery, as the father suggests, Stubbins stumbles on a derelict hospital run by the reclusive Dr. Doolittle, played by Robert Downey Jr., the legendary animal doctor. The hospital is full of steampunk devices and wild animals, gorillas, polar bears, insects to parrots, wandering around just like humans. And even more surprising, Dr. Doolittle can speak all their languages. Stubbins decides to convince the doctor to take him on as an apprentice so he can learn to talk to the animals too. But trouble is brewing at Buckingham Palace. Someone has poisoned the queen, and only the doctor knows the cure, a panacea found in a distant land. Doolittle and the gang set sail to find it. Can they trick an evil king, Rasuli, played by Antonio Banderas, into giving him the map? And will they defeat a tiger, trick a dragon, and catch the palace villains and cure the queen in time? Okay, I grew up surrounded by Hugh Lofting's books, TV cartoons, movies. And even though I wasn't a devotee, I know about all the stories and characters. And, you know, I don't love Robert Downey Jr. So I saw this movie all set to be disappointed. Where's the chimp? And what happened to my favorite, the two-headed push-me-pull-you? But you know what? I actually liked this one. It was cute, full of adventures, close escapes, exciting trips to exotic lands, and all the quirky animals, using the voices of Octavia Spencer, Rami Malek, John Cena, Emma Thompson, many others. Keep in mind, grown-ups, this movie is for little kids, not for us, really. We may find the jokes a bit too stupid, but you know what? The exciting scenes and the fast-moving adventures kept me satisfied. It's not a terrific movie, but I liked it. It's very cute. What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael, written and directed by Rob Garver. No relation. Pauline Kael was a single mom who grew up in a California ranch during the time when movies were still silent and black and white. Her first public published review was Charlie Chaplin's Limelight. She hated it. She ran a movie theater in Berkeley where she wrote the reviews and descriptions of the films playing there, encouraging the locals to come see them. She later wrote for McCall's, but was fired for not loving big budget cinema enough. And she quit her job at the New Republic because they edited out her writing. She finally found a post that was just right at the New Yorker, where she became one of the most influential movie critics in the world. Pauline Kael is known both for the movie she hated. She described The Sound of Music as asexual revisionist treacle. She's probably right. And she also trashed Stanley Kubrick's 2001. And the one she loved, Penn's Bonnie and Clyde, Scorsese's Mean Streets, Spielberg's Sugarland Express. Some directors' careers were made by her patronage, while others lived in dread of her columns. She rejected the ennui-ridden academic auteur theory, while not falling for the manipulative big-budget schlock. She liked trash, mind you, but it had to be good trash. What She Said is an immaculately researched, spot-on look at Pauline Kael's reviews and her influence on both audiences and filmmakers. It delves into her fascinating life and undeniable influence without resorting to the endless ass-kissery or kiss-assery that you get in a lot of these tribute documentaries. This movie is a labor of love, combining vintage TV interviews with people like Dick Cavett and Brian Linehan and talking heads from Tarantino to David Lean with readings from her work done by Sarah Jessica Parker. Best of all, these voices are illustrated by a veritable barrage of 2 or 3 second film clips from hundreds and hundreds of movies over the past century. I haven't seen this done in a documentary since Los Angeles Plays Itself in 2002. Just amazing. I grew up reading Pauline Kael's reviews in The New Yorker, that and the cartoons was the only thing I read. And while I disagreed with her half the time, I always wanted to see what she had to say. If you love movies, and if you're listening to my reviews, I assume you do love movies, I strongly recommend this documentary. Les Misérables, co-written and directed by Lodge Lee. It's Paris in the high-rise banlieue that circle the city. 35 degrees outside, and the crowds are high on the country's win on the soccer pitch, singing the Marseillaise at the train stations. But trouble is brewing. It seems a lion cub is missing from a traveling Roma circus, and the four brothers that run it are threatening a rumble with the locals unless they give back the lion cub. Power here is shared by the secular, led by community leader who calls himself the mayor, played by Steve Tienchu, the religious Salah, played by Almami Kanute, an imam who runs a kebab shop, and the criminal, a gang of thieves who work secretly with the cops. Attempting to keep the peace are the feckless, police, who mainly just harass kids and sex workers. The regular team, an abrasive white guy named Chris, played by Alexis Manon, and his calmer black partner, Guada, who grew up in the hood, played by Jibril Zonga, are joined by a newbie, the wide-eyed Stéphane, played by Damien Bonnard, a hick straight from the farm. But the only ones who really know what's going on there are the local kids. They know every broken fence, every fire escape, every back alley, and they're watching it all. Especially Issa, played by Issa Perical, a feisty 10-year-old, and his pal, the nerdy Buzz, played by Al Hassan Lee. Issa is the one who liberated the cute lion cub, and Buzz, who records everything from the rooftops using his trusty drone. But when the cops overstep their bounds and use weapons, and all of it's caught on camera, things start to go really wrong. Chaos reigns. Can the trouble be diffused by the cops and community leaders, or will the kids be the ones who solve the trouble? And could this lead to a repeat of the Paris riots of 2005? Okay, Les Misérables, and just so you know, this isn't the classic Victor Hugo novel, but he happened to have written it in this same area. Les Misérables is an amazing dive in the lives of real Parisians in the outer suburbs, their alienation and the tension brewing there. Acting and story are superb, and I love the way the multiple strands are woven together into a seamless whole. It's nominated for Best Foreign Film Oscar and deserves it, and though violent at times, it's also humorous and exciting, and it holds a real love and understanding of the characters portrayed in the movie. This is a great picture. Doolittle opens today in Toronto. Check your local listings. What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael is opening at the Hot Dog Cinema today, and Les Misérables is opening at the TIFF Bell Lightbox today. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM. And on my website, culturalmining.com.